Welcome to Thursday's edition of Faith on the Line with Amazing Discoveries. Today, Brian continues a study into the Bible and the Christian faith. What should we be doing as Christians? Find out today as Brian looks at this important question.
Well, I'd like to welcome you to another study that we are doing now. In fact, a continuation of the study that we have already been doing into the Word of God as the foundation for faith. The means that we use to test whether something is truly from God or whether something is perhaps being inspired from another source, either from Satan or indeed just from the source of man himself. And we saw as we went through the story of Hananiah and Jeremiah the prophet that right from the very beginning that the basis of truth, the foundation that we use to know whether something is of God or not, is always the Word of God. We looked at the early Protestants and the Reformers, that their slogan was sola scriptura, which means the Bible and the Bible alone as the standard of faith. And so we are going to confirm as we continue in our study that the basis for faith in our present time can only be on the Word of God. We cannot place faith in man, because man, invariably, if he's not following the Word of God, will lead us into error. So the foundation has to be the Word of God. We saw as we closed off in our last study that it said in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 20, it said, to the law and to the testimony. That means to the Bible, the law of Moses, the books of the Bible and the testimony of the prophets. If it does not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And before we go to our present day to see if these are indeed the same characteristics that will apply to God's people at the end of time, before we do that, I would like to just say to you that if you want to go into what we have already discussed, because it may be that this is the first time that you have joined us, then please get into contact with Amazing Discovery so that you can get hold of the previous seminars or the previous presentations that we are doing in this particular study. What we would like to do now is to go to the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, we are very interestingly given the characteristics that will define the people of God at the end of time. And it says in Revelation chapter 12, verses 17, it says the dragon. Who is the dragon? Well, we know according to the explanation given in chapter 12 itself that the dragon is Satan. And it says that the dragon was wroth, in other words, was angry with the woman. And who is the woman? Well, we understand that the woman who is dressed in white, the pure woman, is representative of the Church of God. So the dragon went to make war with the woman, the remnant of her seed, that which remains, that which is finally there at the end. Went to make war with the remnant of her seed, and then it gives the definition or the characteristics of those who are the remnant of God, the children of God. And it says, are they which keep the commandments of God. So in other words, they keep his law, the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The very same elements that we find in Isaiah chapter 8, verses 20. The law and the testimony. Here are those who keep the commandments of God, the law, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now some may say, well, that Isaiah says testimony and this says testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, if we really break the scriptures down to the essence of what they are a testimony of Jesus Christ. They are about Jesus. In fact, if you go to the very beginning of the Bible, what does it testify of? The very opening lines of scripture say, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That is already revealing Jesus to us because he was the creator. If we read in John chapter 1, in the scriptures, it speaks about the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And through him, through the Word, all things were made that were made. And that Word, it says, became flesh and dwelt among us, who we know was Jesus Christ. And right through the Bible, in the sacrificial system which the children of Israel took part in, the lamb which was sacrificed, all represented the Messiah. The whole of the Old Testament, the testimony of the prophets, was continually bringing them, people, into a closer relationship with the Messiah, with this God who was the Creator God from the very beginning. So the whole of the Bible really is a testimony and a revelation of Jesus Christ. Indeed, we will see that Jesus himself revealed himself through the Old Testament scriptures. That is why it is erroneous today to say that only the New Testament is relevant, or the Gospels are relevant to us in our time. The whole Bible is a testimony of Jesus and reveals Jesus to us as his people. So we read here, in fact, we can go to Revelation chapter 19, verses 10. And Revelation 19, verse 10, it very clearly says what the testimony of Jesus is. It is the message of the prophets. And it says here, John is about to fall down before the angel. And it says here in verses 10, and I fell down at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That means it is the message of the prophets, the prophetic message. The same as the children of Israel, the Hebrews, understood the law and the testimony. The writings of the law, that means the Ten Commandments, the writings of Moses, to be the foundation, and the testimony, which was the testimony of the prophets, who were inspired by the Spirit of God to deliver the message which they gave to the people. So it's very important to understand that the whole of Scripture is the testimony of Jesus. It is upon the Word of God and upon Jesus himself that God's people will base their doctrine and belief right until the very end of time. Not just the New Testament, the Old and New Testament inclusive in this teaching. Indeed, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would follow me in your Bibles there, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see exactly the instruction that Paul gave Timothy with regards to what the foundation of faith is. And listen to what he says. If you follow me in your Bibles, please feel free to do that. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm reading here from verses 16. Paul tells Timothy, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now what did Paul mean when he said that all scripture is given by inspiration of God? What scripture was he talking about? In the time of Paul and Timothy, were the New Testament scriptures, the New Testament itself, was it already compiled and put together in book form for them to study and read? No. What scriptures was he talking about? He was talking about the Old Testament. The Old Testament was the scriptures that they used for establishing the doctrine and faith in the early Christian church. So Paul says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not by man, that's why they could be trusted. Not like Hananiah, who did not use the scriptures as his foundation, but used his own prophetic interpretation as the means of the foundation of delivering the message that he was giving. No, those who are true place their teaching in the scriptures of God, because they are inspired of God, and Paul says that it is profitable for, and listen very carefully to what he says, the scriptures are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Notice what Paul is saying here. One of the first things he mentions, he says that the scriptures are profitable for doctrine. That means the teachings of our faith, the doctrines. The Greek word there is a word didaskalia, which means instruction, information, learning and teaching. This is what the scriptures are profitable for. So it seems like even the doctrines which they established in the early Christian church, they could actually find them in the Old Testament. This is very important, that any new light then that which would come in the New Testament times would not contradict the light that was already given through the law and the testimony, through the prophets. This will become even clearer as we continue. Doctrine is very important. When you put the distinctive doctrines aside of the Bible that make up your faith, you become like every one of the other churches or people who apparently claim to be from God but are not using the Bible as the foundation for their faith and their teaching. This is very important, that the doctrines be established. It distinguishes God's people amongst those who are teaching false doctrine. That's why in chapter 4 he could say to Timothy. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word of God, of course. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And now listen to the warning he gives in verses 3. Take note of this. For the time will come, he's making a prophecy here, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That is very important. The time will come when people will put doctrine aside and say, let's not concentrate on the peculiar doctrines of our faith, but let's look at those things which we have in common so that we can have peace and unity amongst one another. Paul warned, he said, the time will come when they will not want to hear sound doctrine, but instead, after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. What a sobering portion of scripture we are reading here. The time will come when the foundation of faith is not anymore the scriptures, the Bible in its entirety, the law and the testimony, in other words. But people would rather listen to a lie, the same as the time of the children of Israel, in the time of Hananiah the prophet and Jeremiah the prophet. A time when they would rather have heard this peace and safety message. Don't worry, everything is going to be okay. The Lord will restore Jerusalem. He will restore the temple. He will bring back those things. They would rather listen to a message which suits their natural human desires. The time, Paul says, will come when this will happen in the end, and they would rather believe a lie than believe the truth. What a tremendous deception comes amongst upon the people, where they would rather believe a lie than the truth. And so, all messages need to be tested according to the law and the testimony. The foundation of our faith must be established upon the Word of God and the Word of God alone. That is vitally important. In 2 Peter verses 1, and if you would again follow me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, and we're reading from verses 19. Listen to what Peter says about the sureness of the Word of God, the sureness of the message of the prophets of the Bible. Listen to it very carefully. He says, verses 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Notice again the reference to the word light. Paul, of course, earlier on spoke about the light, that you are not children of darkness but children of the light. David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So you are a child of the Word of God. And so if you follow the Word of God and the testimony of the prophets, the light will shine in the dark place in this world, and the day star will arise in your hearts. And the reason for this is because the message of the prophets came from God. In verse 20, Peter reiterates this. He says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, it's not something which I can privately interpret according to my own plan. I read a prophecy in Scripture and say, well, hey, this is what it means. No, the Bible explains itself. Because, he says in verse 21, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, directly inspired of God, the authority behind the prophet was indeed the authority of God himself. All the 66 books of the Bible, 22 of those books were historical, 21 of the books were prophetic, 21 were letters, 2 of them were poetic writings, and there were 36 authors over a period of 1,600 years that contributed and wrote the scriptures. Some of them were farmers, some of them were fishermen, some of them were priests, some were tax collectors, there was a doctor, a lawyer, there was a general of an army, there were ministers. All of these people contributed to the scriptures, but they were inspired by the Holy Ghost as they wrote the scriptures. This is what the Bible says. And we need to be sure that we allow the scripture to be its own interpreter. As Peter says, scripture is not of private interpretation. In fact, in Isaiah 28, it gives us the plan that we use. It says, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. The word of God will reveal itself as you compare scripture to scripture. You will find out what the truth is. So you don't base your religion on one text of the Bible that you happen to think is good enough for you. You will see if this is, in its total context, what the Bible actually teaches. Very important. Jesus used the same principle. He revealed himself in the scriptures. Remember what we said, that the scriptures is a testimony, the message of the prophets is a testimony of Jesus Christ, because the scriptures speak about Jesus Christ. If you look at the practice of Jesus himself in the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 27, you will see that this is exactly what Jesus did. He revealed himself in the scriptures. He did not go to some external source to reveal himself to the people in his day and age. He went to the scriptures themselves and revealed himself through the word of God. This has been the practice of God's people throughout all time. In chapter 24, we read the story of the two disciples who were on the road to Emmaus and who couldn't understand the things that had happened to Jesus. And he says in verses 25, while he is walking with them and speaking to them, he says, "O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." The true prophets, of course, not the Hananias. "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to then enter into his glory?" And then it says in verse 27, listen very carefully, it says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets," Moses, the law, the books of the law, the prophets, "he expounded unto them all the in all the scriptures," that means the testament, the canon of scripture, "all the things concerning himself." So Jesus recognized that the whole of the scriptures were a revelation of himself, the writings of Moses, the law, and the testimony of the prophets. Jesus practiced what Isaiah 8 verse 20 said, "To the law and to the testimony. If it speaks not according to this, it is because there is no light in them." And indeed, he was referring to himself when he spoke about the light. Later on, when he goes to the upper room, just a little while later after speaking to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he goes to the upper room and appears to the disciples. And then he says to them, in verses 44, he says, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in," listen very carefully, "in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." The foundation of Jesus' faith and his teachings and the revelation of himself he saw to be in the law and the testimony, the word of God. And he was referring to the Old Testament scriptures. The Christian faith, according to the scriptural evidence, was based in the Old Testament writings. It was the revelation of Jesus Christ himself. And it says in verse 45, "Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." So when Paul was speaking to Timothy, when he said, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof and for correction," and so on, he was referring to the Old Testament scriptures because they were a revelation of Jesus Christ and the desire of God for his people. This is such an important truth to realize and to recognize. In Psalms 119 verse 105, remember the text I have showed you, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The word is who? The word, of course, in writing is the Bible. But the word that was made flesh and dwelt among us is who? Is Jesus Christ. The word is the Logos, as it is in the Greek. The Logos, which means the divine expression. In the creative act in the beginning, when the word, when the world was made through the word, which was Jesus Christ, as it is recorded in John, it was the expression of God, the divine expression, his creative act, is a creative expression through Jesus Christ. When the word comes to dwell through the written word in the study of the word of God, and then Jesus comes to dwell in the heart of the believer, it is the divine expressing himself through humanity. That's why David could write, he says in verse 11 of Psalms 119, he says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." That means Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, comes to live in the heart. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It is the word that purifies, that helps us to turn away from sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart. That is why Jesus could say in John 5 verses 39, he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. In his prayer to his father before he went to his trial, in John 17 verse 17, he prayed, he said, sanctify them through thy word is truth. The foundation of faith. What a tremendous study we have done this time. We will see in our next study that it was the practice not only of Christ, of the Old Testament people, but it was the practice of the early church as well, to base their teachings on the Word of God and the Word of God alone. They tested all things according to that foundation, the Scriptures. Thank you for joining me, and may God bless you. Join us again as we continue our study into the Word of God next time. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
The tendency towards moving together in unity is growing at a phenomenal pace. It looks good on the surface, but it's worth noting that we as Christians should not be removing doctrines for the sake of unity. If we are not submitting to God's word, we may invariably end up in a place we never intended to go. If you'd like an audio cassette of this message, please be sure to mention today's date and call Amazing Discoveries at 1-866-572-9457. The cassette is just $7 Canadian. For those wishing to contact us by mail, please write to Amazing Discoveries, Box 26012, Richmond, BC, V6Y3V3. And for those in the US, please write to Box 4480, Blaine, Washington, 98231. Tomorrow will be our final day on the air. If the messages you have been hearing have been a blessing to you, we'd like to hear from you. Our phone number, once again, is 866-572-9457. We can also be reached online by going to www.amazingdiscoveries.org. Our website has previous radio messages for you to listen to, as well as many video clips on a number of amazing discoveries. Please take some time and visit us. You'll not regret it. That's amazingdiscoveries.org. Once again, we'd like to leave you with a song arranged by Brian Newman, entitled In the Sweet By and By, which comes from a CD of Brian's that can be ordered by calling Amazing Discoveries. I'm Jason Herberg, thanking you for being with us. Have a good day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
In the sweet by and by. are bound to